be accepted as an ordinary man. Namo Vishnupadaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Imada Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nityanamine Namaste Sarasvati Devam Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavari Vaskatyare Satarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadara Sri Vasadi Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Maitreya Uvacha, Ganga Jamunayor Nadyor Antara Chetramavasam Arabdhani Vabhuje Gogan Punyaji Hasaya. The great saintly sage Maitreya told Vidura, "My dear Vidura, King Prithu lived in the tract of land between the two rivers, Ganges and Jamuna. Because he was very opulent, it appeared that he was enjoying his destined fortune in order to diminish the results of his past pious activities." Whenever we see someone enjoying in this world, we should know that it is bedenklich. To express that in English is not possible for me. Bedenklich means, well, it's critical. Critical is a word in English. Why? Because by enjoying, he exhausts the good results of good activities. When someone, in other words, is enjoying, he is depleting his bank account in regards to happiness. All of us have only so much happiness in our life, which is yet to come. And the enjoyer, he depletes it very fast. Especially young people who become very much infatuated or enthusiastic about their material enjoyment, they should know that that means when they're getting older, the enjoyment will not at all be there, and rather they will just spend their lives lamenting for what they have lost, and they will be very disturbed, in fact, by various diseases which manifests in a body which has been misused but for too much sense gratification. This is a fact. So when the people, the ordinary people, saw how King Prithu, who lived between the Ganga and Jamuna, enjoyed so much royal opulence, they thought that, this king, he is depleting his bank account of good karma. And they were thoughtful about it. They had second thoughts. He had said, "It appeared that he was enjoying his destined fortune in order to diminish the results of his past pious activities." Now, of course, Krishna is not under the laws of karma. He is not really, he's not at all under those laws. In the Gita it says that it appears that the Lord is under the laws of material nature, but he is completely, totally, 100% transcendental to them. And that is the reason why even an ordinary person by coming in contact with him, also can transcend the laws of material nature. By coming in contact with Krishna, our past karma is burnt, so it can no longer fructify. So that's one point to be considered here. Krishna is transcendental, and also the devotee who is linked up with Krishna in through Bhakti Yoga is transcendental and cannot be considered to be an ordinary person. That is the authorized statement of the Shastra. So Prabhupada makes a very nice point that an incarnation of the Lord cannot be actually created by popular vote. He has to conform to the standards set up in the Shastra. Yesterday we gave some Shastric points which prove Maharaj Prithu to be an authorized incarnation. He had all the symptoms of one. There are two kinds of symptoms. One is when you look for an incarnation of God, the direct symptoms and then the indirect symptoms. The direct symptoms are if he looks the way he is described in Shastra and has all the signs. For instance, the incarnation of the Lord have signs on their bodies. On the hands they have a chakra, and on the feet they have also specific signs which are rather unusual, which cannot be found in conditioned souls. And the indirect signs are that he performs activities. For instance, a direct sign for the incarnation of this age is that he is golden colored. And the more indirect is what he does, that is to spread the holy name and be associated by different devotees. When Sanatan Goswami was hearing from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu about the different yuga avatars, he posed a very intelligent question to him, which made the Lord smile. He said, can you just repeat to me the symptoms of the yuga avatar once more, please? And then the Lord was saying, then in the midst of it, he said, give up your intelligent tricks. Because Sanatan Goswami wanted Krishna, Chaitanya, to state that he directly is Lord Chaitanya, is the yuga avatar. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu made the point, he said, no real incarnation of the Lord will say so. He won't just go around bragging, I'm an incarnation of the Lord. So this was very nice to hear. I read this yesterday, how the Lord said, give up your intelligent tricks. He didn't, Sanatana wanted to, so to say, build up a situation in the talk thereby which it would become obvious. But it was obvious that Chaitanya was. So these are some points to be considered in the light of today's shloka, this morning's verse. Let us now go further. As we said yesterday, this will be the second part of a interesting discussion. It is how to overcome material attachments. Now, some of you were not yesterday able to come to the lecture, and for you I would like to just summarize what we were saying yesterday. It also doesn't really harm for the others to hear it again. We of course are all aware, more or less aware, that our material attachments are binding us to a life where we are not yet fully surrendered, or where we are not capable to surrender fully to Krishna. These attachments sometimes have been compared with ropes. It has been said the ropes of attachment bind us. And different Vaishnava poets like Rupa Goswami have said, now please throw me a different rope. So throw me the rope of devotional service that I can climb out of this dark well of material existence where I am situated due to my material attachments. Tip, so to say, for devotees, which helps them to overcome their material attachments, is to find out the faults of material sense gratification. And when you have found out that fault, you should increase your understanding more and more and more. This is called advancement by negation. You see through the veil of illusion, and by seeing the naked form, you know, the uncovered form of that particular Maya you are attached to, there is a great chance that you will lose your appetite, so to say, to enjoy these illusory forms. This is what Narada Muni is preaching. Now, we had the example yesterday of one man called Pururava. He was a king, actually, who had fallen deadly in love with Urvashi, and disgraced himself completely in the attempt to enjoy with her after she had left him. So we heard yesterday that this Pururava was given a mystical process by which he could elevate himself to the higher planetary systems and rejoin Urvashi's company. He performed yagyas given to him by the Gandharvas. So after he had reached that elevated position in the heavenly planets, he lamented his ill fortune of being totally attached, and the way he lamented was quite interesting yesterday. I felt everyone gained something from the discussion. He found out all the mistakes and faults, Paravinda Puri, in that particular situation of attachment. So we will now listen to the remaining verses of King Pururava's lamentation. You see, it's a very good lamentation, and a lamentation you might also be able to nachvollziehen, to also apply in your life. Adrishtat ashrutat bhavan nabhava upajayate asam prayunjata pranam sanjati stimitahamana. Translation: because the mind is not disturbed by that which is neither seen nor heard, the mind of a person who restricts the material senses will automatically be checked in its material activities and become pacified. Actually, here he doesn't point out a mistake of material attachment. Here he gives the tips how to overcome that. Actually, I'm quite amazed. We stopped yesterday at a point where he also it changed into a different modus. What you will hear now, I must correct myself, is not any longer finding fault with material attachment, but how to overcome material attachment. Now, all of you who were not there yesterday, you must feel a little bit unfairly treated because I announced a philosophical point which I do not make. So let me go back and just give one example of how this can be done. He says here, how can I blame Urvashi for my trouble when I myself am ignorant of my real spiritual nature? I did not control my senses, and so I am like a person who mistakenly sees a harmless rope as a snake. See, that is when one mistakenly thinks that the material illusory energy of Krishna actually has some substance to it and can be enjoyed. Then one makes a mistake, just like the person who sees a rope and thinks it's a snake makes a mistake. It is not so. It is an illusion. In a similar way, we are not here to enjoy this material world. The more you enjoy, in fact, the more you have to suffer. Did you know this law? The more you take, the more you have to give. This is a simple understanding, which when one is attached, is not quite present. So here he finds out that one may think one can enjoy unendingly, but Gambira, what is it? Savatra Gambira. Just now the verse is not present in English. Material and suffering comes unasked for, just like enjoyment comes unasked for. In other words, it is coming on its own. It has a mechanism, not completely whimsical it comes. Whenever you expose yourself to a feeling of enjoyment, the suffering follows like the night follows the day. So the more you have enjoyment, the more it comes. So this is not known. And Guru Rabha, he points out this force. So now he makes a point. In order to overcome attachment, one should not expose his mind to situations of sense gratification. That is sometimes in our Sankirtan Yagya, when our Sankirtan devotees are, unable to go on Sankirtan any longer. This is the reason in most cases. They are young devotees, and actually you will be surprised, here's one devotee who's exactly in the situation, and I hope I can help this devotee by this analysis. Sometimes when one is going as a devotee, going out into the material world, into the material atmosphere to distribute transcendental literature, one becomes so unable to do so. One loses his, it's almost very difficult to understand for non-devotee. It can happen that this devotee loses all capability of addressing a kami and talking to him as to present the transcendental book to him. He feels like a tree on the street, can't even almost move, or at least not, his mind doesn't move any longer. What has happened? The mind has been exposed for a long time to the objects of the senses, and although one did his best to not let those sense images, these images touch and influence one, it didn't work. It has unconsciously entered us and it has polluted us. Prithu Maharaj talks about this two chapters later. He says, when the mind is absorbed or in contact with the sense objects, it dries out, just like a lake which is surrounded with different again, I only know the German word Schilf, that's some plants which grow around the lake, gets dried out because the plants take all the water. In the same way, all our energy can sometimes be taken, our mental strength and even physical strength, when we are not careful and are surrounded too much with sense gratification, objects, like when we go on the street. The devotee loses his power, his concentration. Now this in itself is not very, very difficult, very strange. One should not feel, it's natural that especially young devotees will experience this. Therefore, Prabhupada always stressed that the Bhagavad Vidhi, that is preaching, where we come in contact with the material world, the people living in it, is complemented with another track, that is the Vajaratriki Vidhi, service to the deities. So a devotee who has severe problems in this, he might consider, after talking with other devotees, that he or she spends a few days or even a week in the temple engaging in the service of the deity. Then the senses get flooded over again with spiritual images and spiritual impressions, and then the mind gets fulfilled again, and one wants to run, one can go out again. This is what I myself am applying very regularly in my own Krishna conscious life. One sometimes stays and I have a different technique. My reason is I want to read. Is that different? That's not the same analogous situation. Just notice. Now, the interesting thing in this argument is that it doesn't hold true 100%. You will be amazed. Here it says, because the mind is not disturbed by that which is neither seen nor heard, the mind of a person who restricts the material senses will automatically be checked in its material activities and become pacified. I don't say this is incorrect, but it's that, otherwise I will, the ground will open and I will be devoured by the Yamadutas. Right? This is not what I'm saying. It is, this process only works when one applies spiritual life to his senses. See, if you just remove yourself from the sense objects and not engage in the positive activities of Krishna consciousness, where you sevanam bhakti uchate, you engage your senses in Krishna service, you won't be in security. Why? Because all the images are still within the mind. You don't see or hear any new material illusion, but it is going. The mind is still contaminated, and it will run out to the objects of the senses. It's not just that the objects enter our mind. No. Our mind will catch them. He will, because inside the mind are images of the outside world. So unless and until you fill your mind positively with Krishna conscious activities, just restricting your senses and your mind will not solve the problem. Srila Prabhupada gave the very nice example actually of a glass which is in an inky atmosphere. Now, inky atmosphere, what does that mean? It is like, inky atmosphere means like clouds, they have a watery atmosphere, or fog has also a watery atmosphere. So imagine a glass in a fog made from ink, from tinta. From ink. So it will, as long as the glass is empty, it will always have ink on its sides. So, and this is also, this is the mind. even if you are, as long as you are in the material world, even if you are not surrounded with material sense objects, if you are just surrounded with the mental images which are in your mind will be polluted. What to do? Prabhupada gives a simple answer, just fill the glass with milk, the ink will go out and it will be filled so that no more ink can fit in there. In other words, fill your mind with Krishna and with Krishna conscious activities, then the ink of material atmosphere can't go in and you can't be disturbed any longer. So, therefore, one should never let his senses associate freely with woman or with man attached to women. Even those who are highly learned cannot trust the six enemies of the mind. What to speak then of foolish persons like me? This has been shown by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his teachings. He once said that even if the mind looks upon the form of a wooden doll of a woman, a nicely a shapely form of a woman, or again, you see, our dear Mataji, they should understand, or if you happen to be in the woman body on a man, or you can even broaden it up to the objects of the senses, then the mind, because it is all this beleaguered, surrounded by six kind of enemies, can become agitated again. Therefore, even a liberated person does not trust his mind. It can happen that all of a sudden the six enemies get on its case. Just like Bhaktivinoda Thakur gave the example of the chariot which is attacked by gangsters, highway robbers. In a similar way, our mind can be attacked on its journey to Krishna by the six enemies called lust, anger, illusion, and so on and so forth. So, therefore, you should never allow your senses to, or your mind to become careless in your execution of sadhana bhakti. This is another point which Pururava makes here. So, this was a story which Krishna told. Krishna said, having thus chanted this song, Maharaj Pururava, eminent among the demigods and human beings, gave up the position he had achieved in the planet of Urvashi. His illusion now cleansed away. By transcendental knowledge, he understood me to be the supreme soul within his heart, and so at last achieved peace. Now Krishna, because this is such a subject, how to overcome attachment, now he has finished his story, but now he also begins to preach. An intelligent person, like the devotees from the Heidelberg temple, should therefore reject all bad association and instead take up the association of saintly devotees whose words cut off the excessive attachment of one's mind. See, this is actually the solution which also Kapila Dev gave to his mother Devahuti. Devahuti presented her case to him and said, I'm like a person who has fallen into the abyss, that's an abgrund in Deutsch, of material life. And he said, therefore, you, she addressed her transcendental son Kapila, are my transcendental eye through which I can see. So, this is what why? Because Kapila gave her the transcendental knowledge. Shastra Shakshu, see through the eyes of the Shastras, the scriptures which are giving transcendental knowledge. So, But what to do with our attachment? What to do with our love? And this is a subject, especially in the autumn season, what to do with it? This is really the essential question of the human life. Where to place that feeling that we want to, you know, taste a rasa, that we want to taste a rasa. See, the human being, isn't this an essential question? The human being cannot exist in a void. He always wants to taste something in relation to another person. He wants friendship or association, otherwise, even if it is a hellish association, still, somehow we are a social animal, as it is sometimes said. If someone has no association, it has been found out in the realms of psychology, he usually turns out to have some crazy habits. For instance, professors who are just with their books, they always are a little kauzig, a little special. People who go into the wilderness. I knew a friend who just went away to Canada, and I met him just recently. He went to Canada, into the Canadian woods, and he developed some strange habits, you know, very strange. So we need to have the other persons around for our personal development. So what to do with this attachment, this thing? This has been explained very nicely by Kapila Dev. He says, just transfer the attachment you have for other persons and other things to the saintly devotees of the Lord. If we can be very attached to devotees, then we will have no need to place our attachments. And if we feel sometimes sad because we do not have the right association, then no, it is because your attachment are not fixed on the devotees. That is and on Krishna. My devotees fix their minds on me and do not depend upon anything material. They are always peaceful, endowed with equal vision, and free from possessiveness, false ego, duality, and greed. See, just by fixing your mind on Krishna, you will be free from possessiveness, false ego, duality, and greed. And these are all the symptoms of, how do you say, attachment. Oh, greatly fortunate Uddhava, in the association of such saintly devotees, there is constant discussion of me, and those partaking in this chanting and hearing of my glories are certainly purified of all sins. Whoever hears, chants, and respectfully takes to heart these topics about me becomes faithfully dedicated to me and thus achieves my devotional service. What more remains to be accomplished for the perfect devotee after achieving devotional service unto me, the Supreme Absolute Truth, whose qualities are innumerable and who am the embodiment of all ecstatic experience? And I will end this by reading a very nice shloka which tells you how the association of devotees who are serving the Lord works. Just as cold, fear, and darkness are eradicated that means finished or vanquished, for one who has approached the sacrificial fire. So dullness, fear and ignorance are destroyed for one engaged in serving the devotees of the Lord. This is very, very true. Sometimes after endeavoring very hard we become a little dull, or sometimes we become dull anyways. Even from laziness you can become dull. Our mind gets a little fearful. Oh, what about the future? Where will I go? What will I do? Ignorant me, what are your future? Is your future in this world? We lament. So when we have a good association with Vaishnavas, with devotees, especially older devotees, it can go. Sometimes we might have to then go where older devotees are in a temple, serve them personally, associate with them, ask them questions, talk with them, and it goes. Always. Also on Sankirtan, I remember in my Sankirtan days that sometimes the karmis would get very much on my nerves. I was just very dissatisfied with them. Why are they always so foolish, I thought. And you can't even talk with them. I was a big talker on Sankirtan, which is not good. I felt always very frustrated with the karmis, and sometimes I just went to older devotees and said, "Preach to me, I'm frustrated." And the devotees told me about Krishna, it went away. So this is a very nice point which Maharaj Pururava has shown us through his example. We should all follow his lotus feet, engage in Krishna consciousness life and the association of devotees, fix our mind on Krishna through the prescribed methods, and in this way make our lives successful. So Hare Krishna, I want to end here. I don't want to end here. This is of course a great subject. I would just our subject is transferring attachments to the devotees of the Lord and to Krishna, and in this way cutting the ropes of death. So our Raghunath Goswami gives us another very nice instruction, which I want to just repeat. Oh brother, that's not you, that's your mind. Oh mind, I hold your feet and I pray to you with flattering words. Always give up your pride and develop wonderful love for your spiritual master. Vrindavan, the people of Raj, the saintly devotees, the brahmanas, my initiation mantra, the holy name of Krishna, and the shelter of the eternally youthful couple of Braj, Sisi Radha Krishna. Here we should put our minds, our spiritual master, hear about Vrindavan, and what's going on there, how everyone is doing, the saintly devotees. Then, you should be attached to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Then, here some. I don't have the time to really go through all this nectar, but we want to just now go get into the psychology. Oh my! Now please listen to this. Give up the prostitute. Ooh. Give up the prostitute of speaking and hearing nonsense that will rob you of the treasure of your heart. Don't listen to the words
of the tigress of liberation that swallows your whole individuality. And anyways, this is all very, again, very high level. This is what we should also do. And you want to be peaceful, don't talk nonsense. It is like a prostitute which robs your treasure of your heart. These talks will throw you out of Krishna consciousness. These talks are sometimes described to be as village talks. You know, in a village they all talk, oh, did you see him? Did you see her? Do you know the latest news? He stole an apple from him. And so on and so forth. This is the talk of this material world, which is like a village of illusion. Be broad-minded. This is very nice, these instructions. Now we will hear another one. Oh, mind, anxiously cry out to the highway police of Bhagavit, these are Krishna's devotees. I'm bound around the neck by the painful ropes of the highwaymen of lust and so on. And they are killing me so that they will save you from their grip. Go to the devotees and say, I'm in a miserable situation. I'm bound around the neck by these gangsters who drag me on the road of materialism. And now the best one. Oh mind, why are you burning me and yourself by bathing in the trickling ass urine of obvious deceitfulness and diplomacy? You know, when an ass passes urine, it is very hot. And it doesn't just come, it comes. So when you sit under this ass, the private part of the ass, and allow the urine, the hot urine, to drop on you, what is your position? So this is when you allow yourself to be deceitful, not honest. If you speak a lie, I don't know, I must have been a Yugoslavian in my last life. I always speak Yugoslavian. A lie, when you speak a lie, this is not very good. And diplomacy, if you, in order to reach your ends, make special tricks and say here to this and here that and this way. No, don't bathe in that urine, this ass urine, but always bathe in the glistening nectar ocean of love for Gandharva and Giridhari. This is Radha and Krishna. And make me and yourself ever happy. Oh, shameless, dog-eating women of the desire for prestige, distinction and position, that shameless, dog-eating woman is dancing in my heart. How can beautiful, pure love of God ever touch it then? See, you think, I'm a great Sankirtan devotee. I'm a great devotee, I'm a lecturer, I'm a preacher. Who is there as great as I am? I will lord it over the society of devotees and everyone will bow down at my feet. Yes! I'm an older devotee. I'm chanting so and so much. I know this and that book. I'm this guru's disciple. Better than the other guru's disciple. This is like quicksand, treibsand, which sucks your boat of sadhana and brings it down on the ground. See, when you begin to develop material desires for recognition, that you want to be for name, fame and glory, this is like inviting a shameless dog-eating women into your heart. I mean, just the day before yesterday, I saw a picture of such a woman. You know, they are in some parts of the jungle, these women, and when the lion has slain a cow, and feels a little exhausted after eating his meal and sleeps somewhere, these women come and cut open the cow and take things from the cow and eat it in private. You know, they are such wild people. So when I looked into the face of this woman, I immediately thought of taking a bath afterwards. Such a low expression, very bad. So, and you can imagine, these women sometimes eat dogs and rats also. The way they do it is, they wait at a rat hole and they just put some smelly substance on their bodies, which smell anyways already, and when the rat comes, they take it at a specific part of the tail. You have to really learn this. And then they make drag it, because by this drag, the spinal cord, it is cracked, and then the rat dies. And half dying, they put it in the pot, Malavendra Puri. You look so interested. And then they boil it when it's dying, and then they eat it. Not very good eating habits. So this Raghunath Goswami says this is such a woman is compared to be the desire of recognition. That you invite her, oh yes, I want to be great, I want to be honored. Then it comes in the heart, huh? And then this woman calls her husband. The woman is called desire for recognition. Anakin. And the husband is called Matsarya. That's envy. As soon as you want to be recognized, you might have seen this woman, this dog-eating woman, which is somewhere sitting there in the corner of your heart. She has called already her husband. You are envious towards other, and you cannot tolerate that someone does better than you. When you hear someone is doing better, you become depressed. And then they make sex in your heart, and they will beget children, which are called hinsa, violence, and asuya, ill will. That means you have bad opinions about others. Though never, therefore, invite this shameless dog-eating woman of the desire for prestige, distinction, and position. She never comes alone. She brings enviousness with her in the heart. And what else? Violence, ultimately, by speaking bad, you are violent. And then, my mind is already at another subject. Let it go back. In ill will, you are wishing others bad. So Hare Krishna, these were some points for sadhana. I made this lecture like this, and I hope now everyone is not too shocked by hearing this. It's important for us to hear on our sadhana way, so that we can overcome the attachments. This is in fact what Narada Muni says, finding out the faults of material attachments. I want to end here. Do you have any questions? Yeah, Jagadisha, Prabhu.
So the main topic is the transference of the attachments.
To Krishna. And devotees.
Yeah, so my question is, you know, in practice, because it sounds very nice, but...
Good.
In practice, let's say, there's a danger that my friendship with some... If I'm a weak devotee, with another weak devotee, so this friendship will, you know, look like mundane friendship.
Therefore, it has been stated that one of the lakshanas, that means ornaments of real Vaishnava Sangha, is to engage in Krishna Katha. And you are new. I know, sometimes two weak-hearted devotees come together and they begin to talk on racing cars and on their past activities, about their past activities. No, Krishna Katha. When you can't do Krishna Katha, which is sometimes difficult because it requires certain natures, then just take a book and read together. I am always doing this when we are in our preaching group. I'm always reading to Bhakta Uwe from different scriptures. I always read a lot. And also amongst friends, take a book, read it, analyze it, understand it. It's a fact what Jagadish says. Birds of the same feathers flock together. So sometimes when you see different, I think we have all seen this, we don't need to go into depth. Mm-hmm. Ishvara Chandra.
My question is connected with the point about love. People love other people and love dogs, cats, like this. And then there's opinion that we love them, we love other people and these animals because we can give them something. And how can we love God? God is completely perfect. It's completely satisfied.
We can't give him something.
We cannot give him anything.
Oh, this is wrong. Krishna is begging for our love, the Prabhupada says. He makes it very simple that everyone can do. Patram pushpam phalam toyam. Give some patram, some leaf, some flower, some fruit, and I will accept it if it is given with love. Krishna is desiring to preach in this world. But he wants his devotees to do the work. So he watches if you are preaching. And when you preach a little bit, Krishna becomes very satisfied. Krishna says there is no one dearer in this world than the one who spreads Krishna consciousness, the preacher. So by doing that, you can give Krishna a lot of pleasure. People do not know God, and therefore they say such nonsense. Like Aristoteles, this is Aristoteles' argument. He says God is so much removed from the world that there is no way for us to make any contact to him. Well, he only knows one aspect of the Lord, that he is staying on the other side of birth and death. He's in the transcendental realm of Vishuddha Sattva. But he doesn't know that the Lord is called Bhakta Vatsala, the friend of the devotee. He wants to exchange with the devotees. Krishna is begging for our love. Prabhupada has made this point. If you can bring others to engage in loving devotional service. See, that brings another point to attention, which I always wanted to make when you were listening. In Krishna consciousness, our activities shouldn't be seen as a formula. Why are you coming to the arati? To please Krishna. Why are you singing? To please Krishna. Why are you chanting? To glorify Krishna. Why are you cooking? To satisfy Krishna. This is how you must think. It's not that sometimes devotees isolate their endeavors from Krishna. I chant so that I have a peaceful mind. I read so that I know something. I eat so that I enjoy. I listen to that and so on. No. A devotee wants to please Krishna. This has to be learned. Think, I have given this duty to please Krishna.
relevant to Puri.
It's conceivable that one could give up gross sense gratification, but to give up desires in the honor seems very difficult.
Yes. It is described that the desire for honor and prestige is a subtle body of sex. It's a ghost.
So, since now you've been practicing for 20 years, if you could give some advice, just by following the process, does the desire to be honored by others automatically go away if you're actually chanting nicely with attention?
If you want to hear my realizations on this, my realization is this. Our movement is very much oriented towards preaching, and therefore those who are in this movement are working for results. The book distributors, they don't go on the street and think, anyways, I don't care how many books I distribute. No. They go, I must distribute books. And then they go out. And the preacher doesn't just run around in Germany, thinks that they don't care what happens. But no, he wants to bring people to Krishna consciousness. And therefore, because we are so much engaged in results, in bringing results in one sense, that there is a danger, a competition spirit. Prabhupada once said, you Westerners, all you know is how to fight. Especially the American ethos, value system is be successful. You know that you come from this area of this village, so to say. So therefore sometimes we, and also we read results, Prabhupada is, on Sunday we read so and so did so many books, bravo, bravo, you know, and so on. We print in ISKCON World Review, here this happened, there that happened, he did this. So it's not so easy, because to come to always stay on the transcendental platform, because you're playing with fire, so to say. So what I have learned in my life as a devotee is to understand that each one's endeavor are made to please Krishna ultimately, because the devotees joined for that reason, to become Krishna conscious. So that's the ultimate truth in there. And because now I become very happy if others do wonderful, because if I keep this point in mind, because I understand, oh, Krishna must be so satisfied with this devotee. I still think, well, maybe I should also do something wonderful one day in my life for Krishna. And, you know, but I don't think at the cost of someone else. This is the ideal case, but sometimes the mind is such a rascal that it makes sometimes sprays a little dirt on this. But then one suffers. So this is the point I can offer. This is my realization. You say, after 20 years, you ask me, what have you realized on this? My realization is, if I can say so, let Krishna be glorified. Let Krishna be pleased. And then, when you do so, you become very happy, because you understand that I'm also in this movement. Wonderful. It's what a good fortune that I'm in this movement. I'm sharing in, so to say. Yes. Madhavi.
I want to give up the enjoying mood.
Please speak louder. You want to keep up the enjoying mood?
Yes, but it's
give up. Oh, good.
But can I do that? I cannot do it. So I, all the time I want to enjoy something. For example, at least a long time, I have joy, so also the association with the devotees, I don't enjoy too much.
This is very nice that you're very honest with yourself. You want to give up the enjoying mood, but it seems very difficult. It will go with purification. So how to get purified? Enjoying Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada once said this. This movement is for happiness. Just enjoy the right things. Enjoy kirtan, dance like a wild girl, enjoy prasadam. Be a little intelligent. If you eat too much, the enjoyment goes. You know that. You will be so tired, and you will become an ugly, fat, old woman very soon. Not able to do any service, you know. Anyways, I'm sorry for this expression, but anyways, if you eat too much, you will be unhealthy after some time. Enjoy in Krishna consciousness. Why not? You're a young devotee. When you feel happy, you naturally will also do some austerity. Like, I remember, when you feel happy in kirtan, you can dance for hours and hours and hours and you don't feel anything. Then in the night, sometimes your legs preach to you, never do this again. And they go, ah, you see, I call it Krämpfe, wie sagt man in Deutsch, in English, spasms come. So the legs want to preach to you, but you can, no, tomorrow I'm up again and dancing like wild. So you will automatically do tapasya when you get a higher taste. Other things don't work. If you say, no, I'm not eating any longer any sweets. Such things. Good, I think we have reached the natural end. It is quite late. Thank you very much. And all the best in cutting your ropes of attachment. Hare Krishna.